All right, now here's a guy who never gives an at-bat away. He never gives a column away. He no, never he gives an interview away. He's the best. He's CSN Bags on Twitter with two G's, and, of course, it's Andy Baggerly who covers the Giants for CSN Bay Area. Bags, how are you this morning?
Hey, Andy.
Oh, hey, I was just calling. I want an exit row aisle, and I'll take Kona. If Kona's not available, then I'll take Kahului.
Well, you're eligible. I mean, you could be in the contest, believe me. So if you come down here, we'll fill one out for you, and you're going.
Marty, that would not go over very well. I think there'd be some insider trading.
Marty Lurie is the Gordon Gekko of radio competitions.
That's correct.
This guy, Marty, will get you on there. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'll make it happen for you. Look, Rick Belson's kid won.
Yes.
And that was,
stuff the ballot box like all those Cougars in New York who voted for David Wright.
How's all right. Okay. Hey, Hunter Pence in this runoff, what are his chances of getting in? He's got some pretty good competition.
I think he has no chance whatsoever because I think Yasiel Puig is probably going to get a billion votes. I think that he's just that big of a story around baseball, and even though this thing usually comes down to who runs the best campaign, whether it's Punch Out AJ or Victorino or some of the other ones we've seen over the years, I think there's just enough people who want to see Puig in that game. I think he's just going to crush everybody else in the vote. But you know what? Pence is very deserving as well, and as are all the guys. Jay Bruce, he didn't even make the vote here too. So. Always a shame to get left off, but I think Bruce Bochy did a pretty good job.
Well, Andy, Tim Hudson's come out and was quoted as saying that if Puig goes, that's a bunch of BS this morning. And he's an all-star. He's a guy that's been in the league, a well-respected veteran. What do you think the tenor around the league amongst the guys that play the game would be if Puig gets there? Would there be an overarching bitterness towards Puig if he goes?
Well, I think that it's true with both older and younger guys, but especially older guys, the whole concept of paying your dues. And, if you pay your dues by being in the lineup every day and being out there every day. And, of course, it wasn't his fault that they started him in the minor leagues and Carl Crawford, Matt Kemp were healthy to start the year. But, I don't know. I think the guy is enough of a sensation. You got to remember, this isn't for the players. This is for the fans.
Yep.
Andy, Pat and I talked yesterday, and I may have mentioned it to you. I've had you on, and I've been talking for 4 days here.
Yes,
I can't remember who I've been talking to. But so many first-year players on this National League team. I just did a quick numbers. About 17? About 17?
17 of the...
Yeah, first-year All-Stars.
Wow.
And, baseball loves this because they want, the torch to be passed. Andy, this game may be very interesting with all the first-time players.
Yeah, pass the torch to all those young, up-and-coming guys like 37-year-old Marco Scudero.
Right?
He gets the Gene Herschelt Award, the Humanitarian Award. And look, Jim Leland. Hey, Jim Leland put some people on as well, and I guess that's a tradition of baseball. You're the all-star manager. You do it.
Well, you know what? I mean, when is Marco Scudero going to have another shot? Probably not, right? I mean, it had to be tough for Bochy to leave Sergio Romo off but he had to probably make a call between Romo and Bumgarner, which he told me last week ago on the road, probably do. With Scudero, to a guy who can come off the bench and get a hit for you, and it's one of the toughest guys to strike out, was so vital to them last year, and has those kind of baseball skills that I think aren't always appreciated by some of the big slugging teams that he's played on over the years. But in San Francisco, obviously, we see how valuable he can be. So a nice tip of the cap for him to make it.
Andy, Sandoval had a good game yesterday. Rosario looks like, he looks like they've given him the eighth inning, which is quite a compliment to him. Everything went well for the ball club yesterday. Sandoval had a good defensive game. The Dodgers kicked it around. It sets up a really good game today against Kershaw. Kershaw, Chad Godin, I said earlier as you were on hold before we got you on, for fans who weren't here in the 60s and the 70s, for the great matchups of Marichal and Perry against Drysdale and Sutton and Koufax, I realize it's Chad Godin and Kershaw, but it is Sunday baseball, it's Giants-Dodgers, and it means something. And I think the place is going to be jumping today.
Well, I think it means a lot. It means a lot to the Giants because, they got to convince Brian Sabian to go out and get a player. We saw the Dodgers just got Ricky Nolasco. And I think that what the Giants do over these next few days here on this homestand and then in San Diego is really going to affect who you might see in black and orange. It might be new. So I think that this is a very important game. You almost have to show the Dodgers, look, you know, you may have gotten yourself back in this race. You may have Puig is the talk of the league. You may have all that payroll. You're getting guys healthy. You're adding guys in Alaska. But, you know, we're still the world champs here, and you got to come in our yard and beat us. It doesn't matter what the pitching matchup is. And I think the Giants need to kind of reset that dynamic and feel good about themselves and feel good about what they have, because this last road trip was just so tough. And there are so many guys fighting to get out of slumps. Seeing Blanco hit a couple extra base hits, I think, was really big for him, because you got to get that leadoff guy going. You got to get that guy on to sort of energize and wake up everybody else around him. And obviously, Blanco did a pretty good job the first week after Pagan got hurt, and then it's gone south for him. So he's a big key, and I continue to think Pablo Sandoval is a big, big key to this club. They can't do it. Get into finger pointing mode or get in a mode where they look around the room and say, this guy's not holding up his end, or this guy's not holding up his end. You know, it's got to start moving one way or another. And beating Clayton Kershaw, taking 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers here, would be a really nice way to get that started and sort of grease those wheels.
Andy Baggerly on KNBR. Andy, you and Marty know the code of baseball. It's such it's a code that was developed over 150 years of playing this game. And yesterday, Sergio Romo throwing the low vista at Hanley Ramirez. I'm talking to my man Kyle before the show here, and I just want to get your thoughts if that'll ratchet up the intensity for today, if the Dodgers are going to get butthurt over that, and going back to Casey Blake doing the Brian Wilson symbol in the dugout, and you think there'll be any payback from the Dodgers onto the Giants today for that?
Yeah, I don't think that you really like drill a player over something like that, but it's one of those little things that you remember. I'm sure the Dodgers won't forget that, and we know that Sergio wears the heart on his sleeve out there a little bit. I think it's a good thing for baseball when the Dodgers and Giants have some good old fashioned loathing toward each other. So,
sure.
Doesn't surprise me. You've got a team that's trying to take the division away from the team that won it last year. It's the rest of the NL West's fault that the Dodgers got back in this, because they could have buried them. And nobody really rose up and had that really big month of June or into May that could have done it. And here they are, right back in it and ready to roar. So, I don't blame Sergio Romo for taking it a little bit personally. And the Dodgers certainly are going to respond in kind.
Yeah, no, I went through this last year with Dave Fleming and Dwayne. And,
right.
I thought Hanley Ramirez doing the La Vista thing was not appropriate. And, Dave said, no, it's guys having fun. And, of course, they got on me for that. And then right after that, Pagan started the salute. So,
Cabrera was doing the crotch chop earlier.
That's
in
what
year,
they all did. So whatever. But here's the deal.
The Rangers did the moose and antlers thing.
That's right.
And all that stuff. And Miguel Tejado did a spotlight thing, and the claw and all this other stuff we've seen. I think it's all in good fun. And if you get mad at Hanley doing the low vista, that's for the guys in his dugout. You know, they're having fun. They're celebrating the game. They're not, I don't think that they're necessarily dunking in someone's face or I just think that that's for them to enjoy.
All right, well.
You take offense at that,
it's all over baseball, so you can't flip everybody.
Marty's looking to throw it a heater inside on Hanley Ramirez.
Well, last year, that was my opinion. That was my opinion last year. All right, Andy, the Dodgers fired the first shot yesterday, getting the last go. Uh-huh. Do the Giants respond to this?
Well, like I said, I think it's up to the way they play over the next week. It may very well tip the scales one way or the other. The Dodgers gave up 3 pitching prospects. I don't think any of them were their top prospects, but they did give up 3, components from their system, and they took on all the money owed to Nolasco. Now, I don't blame the Giants for sort of sitting that one out, because what if you have a chance to get a guy a little later on as a team falls out of the race that you don't expect, and you get a better pitcher than Nolasco? Because I think that they had graded him as maybe a 3 or a 4 type of a pitcher, but what if you're able to make a move for a Jake Peavy or somebody later on down the line? I think that you kind of want to keep your coffers full for that, and you want to see how this team plays and find out if they're worthy of getting that kind of support from management. And I think that they've got to prove it at this point, given the way they've played over, since the middle of May.
Hey, Andy, before we let you split here, on, I believe it was Thursday doing the pregame with Marty, we had you on, and right after you hung up, I meant to ask you, We know a lot about you in terms of that you're a Jeopardy champion and all these things, and that you went to a very prestigious journalism school at Northwestern, if I'm not mistaken, but you enlightened so many fans of the inside workings of Giants baseball. What about you, man? Did you grow up playing baseball? Just wanted to get a little background on the great Andy Baggerly.
Well, you wouldn't use the great Andy Baggerly to describe my baseball playing career,
okay.
That's for sure. No, I mean, just like most people, I played Little League. I didn't really play high school. I played more basketball in high school and stuff like that. So, but I always was a fan of baseball. I collected all baseball cards and everything like that. Grew up a Cubs fan, a big, big Cubs fan, since I was born in Chicago. My older brothers were all Cubs fans. And so I'd like to think that I became an objective reporter so I could relieve myself of a lifetime of disappointment rooting for the Cubs. But I still have. I think it's okay to root for players that you grew up admiring or rooting for. Sean Dunston's certainly one of them. So I really enjoy seeing Sean around the yard, and Ryan Sandberg, Mark Grace. Yeah, those are some of my favorites. Jody Davis and Rick Sutcliffe. All those guys. So, it's kind of cool to be able to swap stories with some of them now and get to know some of them or go check in on Facebook and see, hey, Facebook is recommending that you be friends with Rick Rushel. And I think, oh, okay.
All right, let me ask you this. Stickball, if you had a stickball game,
yeah.
You, Henry Schulman, Chris Haft, Alex Pavlovich, stickball, who wins that game?
Well, I can only tell you that I was the starting third baseman on the three-time Northwestern University intramural champion softball team. Right. So,
hey, what would Jim Rome say? Scoreboard.
All right.
Andy Baggerly.
I'd like to think those skills have not eroded, but it's been a while.
I know you'd crush Schulman. Right. And Baggerly, Schulman in any sport, UFC, boxing, or baseball, I'm going Bags.
What about chess?
I'm going Bags.
All right. All right. Andy, thanks so much, as always.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right,
you know what? We know Andy provides so much information. It's fun to know where
great
the information's
question.
Coming from.
And I was going to ask him, I'll ask him another time, who made the biggest impression on him? Who taught him the most
That's right.
About baseball? And, you know, I think about who taught me the most.
Sure.
I'd have to
Your
think
Uncle
about,
Saul, right?
Uncle Abe.
I'm sorry, Uncle Abe.
That's right. You were close. But same religion.
I know.
Art Howe and Ken Maka.
Ken
really
Maka,
they taught me the most about professional baseball.
Yeah.
And how a season works and how you run a game and stuff like that, how you run a bullpen.
Right.
I'd say they taught me the most about it. You know, and of course I read about it, I knew, but I didn't know what I didn't know until I started doing this.
Jim Murray, I know we were talking yesterday off the air how
very
much his columns meant to you coming up and all that. So,
and that was fun. Dick Young, Ray Ratto, loved him when he was a beat writer.
Yeah.
Bob Stevens, Leonard Coppett. But I think Leonard Coppett was in with Art Howe and Ken Mock. I'd say those three taught me the most. And Bill King, of course, talking to him and Bill Rigney and all that.
Yeah.
But it was all after I got into this.
Yep.
Until I got into this, I thought, gee, I know baseball. No. I didn't understand anything until I got into this. So the
takes a long time to learn this game.
The pros teach you what this game is all about. Yeah. It's different than a fan looking at it.
Sure.
It really is. All right, nice to talk.
Yeah, that was cool.
Good discussion, Pat.